Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Fit Chicks Podcast. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. Now, when I say New Year's resolutions, though, I'm saying we're not talking about like the same old, like how to make a resolution and why you should. We're actually going to be talking about the top three reasons why you should stop making resolutions today and what you should do instead. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because New Year's resolutions obviously are a huge hot topic. It's like a hot button that everybody talks about around the holidays. And once they begin to pass and New Year's begins to creep up on you, it's like the number one sort of thing that people start getting their head set around, like their head and their mindset around, which is like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to make a resolution? What's it going to be? What's that going to look like? So, you know, I think it's really important that we talk about like this new way of thinking, which is why you should actually just stop making resolutions altogether. So, Laura, well, do you make resolutions normally?
I mean, I kind of think I have two minds about this, actually. Like, I don't want to totally say New Year's resolutions are a negative, because I think it's a really, I think it's really great that at least one time a year we're kind of forced to take a step back and look at what's going on in our lives and think about what we want to change. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the purpose of it. But I also think it becomes a lot of pressure, and it sets you up in a way that's really stressful for a lot of people. And then you feel like you fail, and then you feel like, you know what I mean? So I kind of am of like two minds with it. And I know we did a podcast recently about how to kind of wrap up 2016 and go into 2017 with a bang. And that's kind of my way of approaching things as opposed to a resolution. So for me, I don't have resolutions. I actually do my life inventory, and I have some goals and action items that I have already set for 2017.
Right. And so, I mean, but I think the difference is that a lot of times what you're talking about is more of like a mindset sort of shift, and kind of like looking at it from a perspective of like areas that you can improve, not necessarily, and like, yes, goals, but not necessarily like a super rigid, like, I'm going to do that. Like, people become really obsessed with their New Year's resolution when they do set one, and they become very rigid with it. And we're going to talk about the reasons why you should drop resolutions, or at least the word resolution. You can still make, you know, whether it's like a promise to yourself or whatever, or you can make a commitment to yourself to do certain things, but you don't have to think of it as, this is my New Year's resolution. As of January 1, I'm going to do this. Because oftentimes, and this is where this is interesting, some numbers for you, because I, you know, I'm such a number geek and I love percentages and everything else. They say that oftentimes 45% of people actually make New Year's resolutions. Okay. So 45% of the people out there do make New Year's resolutions. Out of the 45% of people that make them, only 8% actually achieve their New Year's resolutions. And 24% actually fail every single year with the same resolution.
Well, I'm not shocked, because it's like, if you make a resolution and you don't set up a clear plan of attack to go along with it, like, how are you going to get there? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, I'm going to quit smoking. Okay, so how are you going to do that? Like, a lot of times people are just like, I'm going to do this, but they have no idea how they're going to do it. They're just like, this is what I'm going to do. And then it becomes like, oh crap. Then the pressure sets in, and the next thing you know, you're back with the cigarettes or in the cookie jar or whatever it is, because that's your comfort.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's why we're going to talk about why you should just drop New Year's resolutions altogether and what you can do instead to be successful. So the number one thing is, the reason why you should not set New Year's resolutions is because we are too damn rigid. We are so hard on ourselves. We set up such difficult tasks, resolutions, boundaries. It becomes all or nothing mentality, and it becomes really overwhelming. So, you know, like what you were saying, like, people just, you know, they set something up and they're like, I'm going to quit smoking as of January 1. I'm never going to smoke again. And it's, we're so, we're like, it's almost like you're putting such a huge challenge on yourself without having a plan in place, without having anything. It's just, you're basing it on willpower. And we're going to talk about that in actually point number two, focusing on willpower, but it's really just all about being so rigid. And really what we need to be doing is try to be a little bit softer with ourselves, be kinder. And, you know, the one thing I think about whenever I set something up and I say, this is like, you know, I'm never going to smoke again. And I think about it from a perspective, if I did smoke and, you know, how angry I would be at myself. Then I think about it from a perspective of if I was looking at that from a loved one, if a loved one said to me, you know, like, for example, Laura, if you said to me, I'm going to quit smoking. And then the next day you told me, oh, I had a cigarette. I wouldn't be like beating you up like emotionally because you did that. I would be like, okay, I'd be supportive. I would try to help you through it, you know, and help you kind of continue on your path to reaching your goal. But oftentimes when it comes to ourselves, we're not like that. We're very harsh. We're very rigid. We're very strict. And we're very mean to ourselves when we don't feel like we're succeeding. And that creates a lot of stress, like you were talking about earlier. It creates a lot of like this mental anguish that like people get very like overwhelmed and they get upset. And then when that happens, it's just so much easier to walk away.
But the thing I find too is like, we all know what we need to do in our lives to be better people, healthier people. But a lot of times what ends up happening is we're not emotionally ready to be that person and, or change that habit. You know what I mean? Like, so for example, smoking, I used to be a smoker. I tried to quit. The average person tries to quit smoking 11 times before they're successful at it. And there are so many times that I was like, I'm quitting smoking. And then yeah, like a week later I'm smoking again. Right. But it's one of those things because my head and my heart weren't connected. You know what I mean? Like I knew in my head I wanted to make that change, but my heart and just my being was not there yet. And it was funny because the day that I did smoke my last cigarette, I knew it everywhere in my being, my head, my heart, my entire being that I was done. You know, like, and it's the same thing with like a relationship or with, you know, like a bad behavior or, you know, a way, like even when you're so just fed up of, if you're very overweight and you're like, oh my God, like I'm just tired of feeling like crap. Like you kind of get to a place where you're just really ready, not from a negative standpoint, but you're just really ready to make that change. So it's like, sometimes it takes 11 times to get there.
Exactly. And so you have to just learn. And that's the whole, you know, the whole point of this is the idea that you need to learn to be a little bit softer with yourself, a little bit kinder to yourself. And, you know, one of the, you know, we were talking about like the three things that you should stop making resolutions and what you should do instead. So instead of being super rigid with yourself and saying, this is what I'm going to do as of January 1, this is like, I'm stopping this and I'm losing 20 pounds in the first month, or, you know, setting up unrealistic expectations for yourself. Instead, try setting up smaller milestones. So we talked about this in a previous podcast about how using milestones versus goals is something that seems to help people be more successful. And the reason why is that when you set up a small milestone to achieve something in the new year, so for example, you could say in the month of January, I'm going to cut back on, you know, eating out or whatever the case may be. And then in February, maybe when you reach that milestone, you feel successful. And when you start feeling successful and accomplished, you want to continue down that same path. So then maybe in February, the milestone is to, you know, stop eating out and to cook dinner from scratch 3 times a week or something along those lines. So it's really just about figuring out smaller steps along the way. So you have a pathway that'll lead you to your end goal. And maybe your end goal at the very end of the year is to, you know, I don't know, take a cooking program and be really involved in your nutrition or something along those lines. But it's all about setting up the right pieces in order to get there. So stop being so rigid with yourself. Let go of the fact that it has to be, as of January 1, all or nothing.
Completely. I do think, though, like I was saying before, though, I do believe, though, that it is good to have a target kind of date to start. And that's the only thing I like about the New Year's resolutions is like, definitely be kind to yourself, but set like by January 1 that you're going to start to figure out your milestones. You know what I mean? Like, set your milestones for the year. It doesn't mean you have to do everything on January 1, but set them as of January 1. So they're not just completely on the back burner and never happen.
Well, it's interesting that you say that though. And we'll talk about that in point three, because there's actually, there's a philosophy around that, around January actually being one of the suckiest times of the year to actually create change. But we'll chat about that in a minute.
I believe it.
But, okay. So number two, so the second reason why you want to stop making resolutions and, you know, what you should do instead is really number two is all about relying on willpower, because we feel as though resolutions are going to have to be muscled up by willpower. And really, in all reality, if you're making a decision to make a change, it's coming from a habit and a healthy mindset instead. Because once you have a habit in place, it requires zero willpower. Maybe not zero, but it's like a very small percentage of willpower. The willpower only has to kick in when you're like, oh, I just really don't feel like working out today. But generally, when it's something as a habit, it's something that is formed in your day-to-day. And so it's really easy to execute. So taking the mindset of, this is my resolution and I've got to be strong. I've got to find this deep willpower inside of me to get through this. You need to shift your mindset on that. And the reason why, I mean, it's like, we're all like, and Laura, you and I talk about this before, where like, we're all rebels at heart in the sense of like, we want to do what we want to do. And like, as soon as somebody says like, oh, you can't do this, you want to do it, right? Like, if you're like, okay, Laura, like if I'm like, Laura, you can't have any wine at this party, you're going to be like,
oh, I would be like chugging two bottles. I'd be like, you tell me I can't, here you go. Like, and even though in my head, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, ah, try to tell me not to, I'm going to chug a lug.
Well, that's just it. Like, it's like the rebel heart syndrome. Like, you know, this is kind of what happens to a lot of us. And so really we feel like we have to like dig deep and rely on all this willpower to like get past these really hard times. But really it's just about a mindset. And it's like, get rid of the mindset of all or nothing. And instead, you know, start saying to yourself, like, think about it from a perspective of like, okay, you know, instead of I will not eat junk food ever again in January, as of January 1, say, I'll eat real whole foods made with love, or I'll cook for myself with real fresh foods as much as possible. So make it a really positive sort of thing so that you don't feel as though you're like pressuring yourself into like this really insane sort of like willpower based system that you don't know you can actually achieve.
I know. I always feel like willpower is like, it's the biggest load of BS I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it is, because like I said, it comes from a habit rather than willpower. Willpower is just your mind making a decision. That's really what it is. Like, and it's, you know, it really is like, you're either deciding to go for a run or to sit on the couch. That is your decision. It's not willpower that makes you get up and go. But what does help you get up and go is creating a habit. And so if you start as of, you know, the new year, maybe it's thinking about it from a positive perspective. So like I said, instead of saying, I will never eat junk food again, say, I will eat real whole foods made with love, cook for myself with fresh food as much as possible. You're making it a positive mindset. And it's kind of like, that's what I'm committing to, something really positive adding to my life. But then at the same time, I'm taking away that like negative sort of, I have to rely on willpower to never eat junk food again. Cause then you're going to want to eat all the junk food, number one. And number two, that's not creating a positive habit. That's just focusing on the negative.
Well, that's why I always think like, you know, I always think of willpower when it's like, you have cupboards, just say stocked full of cookies and ice cream in your house. And, you know, you come home and you're like completely stressed out from work and you're having a really bad day. And then you end up eating them like, and you think, oh my God, I have no willpower. Like, why did I eat those? And it's like, no, it's not about your willpower. It's that, you know, you need to, like you were saying, create healthy habits, set up a healthy space. Like, don't have foods that are triggers in your house. Because to me, willpower does not exist. It's like we are naturally wired to feel good. You know what I mean? We're naturally wired to have our bodies in balance. We're naturally wired to feel good. So when we're feeling bad, we want to make ourselves feel better. So our instant thing is to go for the things that will. And for some that's food, and for some that's alcohol, for some that's drugs, but don't have those in your area if that's the case, because you will never beat your body wanting to be happy. Willpower or not, like it doesn't exist. So just forget this willpower idea and don't beat yourself up about it. Just create the healthy habits, create the healthy space.
Exactly. Well, that's actually point two in this is, you know, change your surroundings and you'll be less likely to give in to yourself. So like you said, for example, remove any junk food from your house, out of sight, out of mind, right? It just, it makes it so much easier to eat healthy.
There was actually a study that, it's actually proven that if you have junk food in your house, no matter what, you will eat it at some point. Like it is the way that, like it will get eaten at some point unless you throw it out. Like by you, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's not like, don't even like, for me, I don't have trigger foods in my house because I know that I am also like, food is an emotional thing for me. So I'm not giving the food any power, but I'm just like, why would I want that around? If I want to go get it, I'll go to the store and get one of it and bring it home. But I know that if I'm in a weird emotional space, that could be something that could end up being down the hatch in 2 seconds. And then I'm going to feel more terrible about myself. So,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, there's changing the surroundings and there's also changing your habits, right? So, you know, there's stuff like your habit of like, usually, you know, if you plan on going home, like, or I mean, going to the gym, like you're like, okay, after work, I'm going to go work out and everything else. But then you head straight home from work and you go and you relax for a little bit and you have some downtime. You're okay, I'm going to go in like 2 hours. What are the chances that you're actually going to get up and go? Right?
Yeah.
So change your habit to, I'm going to go straight from work to the gym or to my workout, you know, so that you're changing that habit. You're changing that like mental space for yourself. So you're not even giving yourself the opportunity to kind of have to rely on this willpower or this like mental game that you have to play with yourself to kind of push yourself to get these things done. One of the other things that, you know, or if you're someone who works out in the morning, if you keep hitting snooze and you're like, oh, maybe I'll get up tomorrow. Never mind. I'm not doing it today. They say one of the things you should do is actually move your alarm clock completely to the other side of your room. So you actually have to physically get up to turn it off. If you have to get up to turn it off, oftentimes you'll actually just be like, okay, I'm up. Let's go. You know, as opposed to being like, oh, snooze tomorrow. So again, you're just changing the habits that you have so that you're making things easier for yourself to be successful towards those milestones and creating a healthy habit, as opposed to being like, it's all or nothing. I have to do it. Cause then as soon as you think all or nothing and you think January, I'm going to work out every day and you don't, the day that you miss, the next day you'll probably miss again. And then after that, it's like, oh, screw it. I'm not going to do it. And then you'll become part of that, that, what is it? 8% only succeed. So the other 92, you'll become part of that 92 percentile that do not succeed with their resolutions because it's something that is just unrealistic.
So true.
And so the third reason why you should give up resolutions altogether, or at least reconsider the way that you're thinking about resolutions, maybe that's how we should say it. And what you should do, and the reason why, I lost my train of thought for a second. I get all excited. The reason why you should maybe change the way you're thinking about resolutions is that January sucks for change. And I mentioned this earlier and I said we would get to it. And it's actually according to ancient Chinese theory of the five elements is that January is actually an awful time to implement change because springtime is actually seen as the best time to create change because that's when life happens. Flowers bloom, the ground change, animals awaken, etc. And it's when life is the most vibrant. So they actually say that if you really want to make a big change in your life, they say that springtime is absolutely the best time for that because everyone has more vibrancy in their life.
Well, I totally agree with that. I mean, January is dark and cold and gray and we live in Canada. So we're usually like inundated with snow and, you know, like you're coming off of Christmas where it's like, it's almost like it becomes like that holiday is so busy or whatever. A lot of religious holidays happen in December, but everything is so busy. And then it's like, so you're like at the peak of this mountain and then suddenly you're supposed to be like, boom, you're supposed to completely change your behaviors. Where probably during that time you were like hell on full force in your behaviors, worse than you usually would be. You know, that's the time where most people are eating more and drinking more. And if you're a smoker, probably smoking more, like all of your bad habits are probably heightened during December. And then you're supposed to go January stone cold, you know, like it's exactly. Too much. Like,
That's why I always think, you know, it's really good to, and I was saying this earlier, like use January 1st as your milestone to set up your goals for 2017, not like January 1, I'm doing this, as opposed look at January 2017 as a whole and say like, okay, January 1, I'm going to sit down and write my goals for the next year. And they might not start till the spring, you know, like it might not be till like, okay, in April, I'm going to start training for a marathon. Like you can set your goals in January for further on. It doesn't mean that your New Year's resolutions have to start on January 1 or January 5th.
Right. And again, thinking about it as maybe it's not resolutions, but maybe it's forming a new habit, right? So it's thinking, it's just changing that mindset, I think is really important. And, you know, one of the things that they say in this Chinese theory too, is that to think of January as a time to regroup and enjoy the things you love. And in the spring, use this time and new energy to create your new habit. And because within 3 months, anything will become a habit. Like if you're doing something consistently over a 3 month period, it will become routine to you. It will become a part of your life. And when things are routine to you, it's so much easier to continue on that path. So then by the end of 2017, that will be part of your life, as opposed to feeling like it has to happen January 1. I'm super exhausted from the holidays. I'm super tired of having things to do, but now I have this new to-do list with rigid rules and all these other things. Just give yourself a bit of a breather. And, you know, maybe it is that you use it to create those milestones, or maybe it's just a small thing that you commit to doing, which is drinking more water or something, but you have a plan of attack so that every month you have a smaller milestone and that you're actually creating a better, healthier sort of pathway to that end goal that you want, which may only happen at the end of the year, and that's okay. But definitely, I found that really interesting that, you know, and I agree with it 100% that January is definitely a time of year where it's almost like counterproductive in some ways, if you think about it, to use that time to just go all out. I mean, why is it that only 8% actually succeed?
Well, and I also think it's like, it is really important though, to have a plan of attack, because yes, I know we're talking about, you know, not being so hard on ourselves, but sometimes I also think we get to be a little bit too loose on ourselves and we don't start to make the changes until something really bad happens. You know what I mean? And that could be something really emotionally bad or really physically bad, like you get a disease. So it's like, think about what you really want. You know, listen to that other podcast that we talked about life inventory and trying to figure that out, and then set that plan of attack that you can do for your habit to make new habits. You know, like, because if you don't have a plan of attack, I guarantee you will not make a change. If you don't have a plan, like, okay, I'm going to literally make my breakfast the night before for the next week or whatever it is, nothing will change. You will end up going through the drive-thru, eating the bagel day after day, beating yourself up and being like, how the hell am I still here? So get the plan in place.
Definitely. Would that be your number one takeaway for our listeners?
I think that's my number one. And then my number two is, you know, I've been talking a lot about this on podcasts and in our fitness and nutrition expert program with our students. And for me, because this has been something that's really been resonating with me lately, is just don't give these words power. So don't think like resolution. Like we turn this word into the be all end all, or we turn it into a negative thing. Like, okay, I've got to start my New Year's resolutions next week. And sometimes they're positive things that we think, but it becomes this, we give it this power that really is just a goal, like it's just changing your habits, but we let it determine how we're going to feel. So it's like, I set these resolutions, I didn't do them, I suck, you know, like, so just, yeah. It's just a word. It's just a time that literally is to take a step back and do a check in your life and look at where you want to change. Like we're all evolving constantly and we're growing emotionally and we're, you know, the things we like or the things that made us happy or made us upset, that's changing all the time as we get more life experience. So we need to take those moments to do that life inventory to see what we need to change in our lives to continue to become better people. And I think that that is also our obligation every year, not only to ourselves, but to the people we love. Like you should be trying to be the best person you can be so you can be great, not only to yourself, but to everybody else around you. So don't give it power and do your life inventory.
All right. And I guess my number one takeaway for our listeners, I mean, I agree with you on the don't give it power 100%, because I do think that we give too many things too much power. But I think mine really about, you know, when I'm thinking about the, you know, why maybe you want to give up the idea of resolutions is just about switching. Like my number one takeaway is about just switch the mental focus on what that means to you. So switch it from it being, it's a resolution, I've resolved to doing this, I'm 100% committed, and it's all or nothing. Get rid of that mindset and be a little bit kinder to yourself. So I know you were saying that you find that some people are too soft on themselves, but I think that it's really important to have a good balance. I think finding a balance, finding out what's going to work, definitely have a plan in place, but give yourself the opportunity to think of it as small pieces of a puzzle, putting it all together to an end result, as opposed to thinking about all or nothing, everything, all my chips are in January. Because the chances are is that, you know, of being in that 8th percentile of people who actually succeed is going to be, that's a tough go. Like it's a tough go for anybody to do one thing that is their usual old habit that they're trying to change. To change it just overnight is a really challenging thing. So give yourself the opportunity to build on that so that you can eventually create the habit that you are looking for.
Well, and it's like, I always think too, it's like changing that habit. It's like even wanting to change the habit, you are on the path. Even thinking about wanting to change the habit, you are on the path. And like my quitting smoking, that took 11 different attempts to get there. You will get there. You just need to keep jigging the strategy if one is not working to find the one that does.
For sure. All right. Well, with that being said, we are going to wrap up for today. So as always, we do want to hear from you. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, email us info@fitchicks.ca. Please check us out at FitChicks on Instagram and Twitter, and at FitChicks Bootcamp on Facebook. And starting in the new year, if you are looking for transformation, change, creating new habits, we have two programs that are launching on our FitChicks Academy page. So if you go to FitChicksAcademy.com, you can check both programs out. One is our natural weight loss coach, so you can learn a bit more about how to dive deep into, you know, everything from hormone balancing to the physical side of natural weight loss. And then if you wanted to look at the other program, it is our Fitness and Nutrition Expert Certification Program starting in April of 2017. If you want to get certified, or if you're just looking for more education, a deeper knowledge base to help yourself or help your family and friends, etc. All right, so have yourself an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.